I'm guessing you've all at least heard of this book called Strengths Finder. It's a book that if you purchase it, you get this access code to take a quiz, like a test online. And once you take it, it will reveal your top five biggest strengths out of a list of 34 different qualities. And many organizations will have their employees or their leadership teams take the test so they can figure out how to best use people to their full potential. And sometimes people will even just buy the book on their own and take the test and just to see what do I excel at? What are my strengths? We all want to know what our strengths are. We like focusing on our strengths. And I mean, hey, it's good to know you really do have some strengths. Whether you believe it or not, you have some strengths. But have you ever read the book Weakness Finder? This one gives you your top five weaknesses. Ever heard of that book? Me either. It doesn't exist. If that book did exist, I don't think it would really be on a whole lot of top sellers lists. No one wants to be reminded of their weaknesses. We want to focus on our strengths. If the book Weakness Finder existed, it would probably be all about how to hide your weaknesses, how to fix them. Because we live in a world where weakness is not celebrated. Weakness is covered up, corrected, or cut out. We live in a world that craves power, strength, success. But we also have a God who tells us the complete opposite is true. When we are weak, then we are strong. Weakness is strength. God proves that to us today using the example of his apostle Paul. Now, and of all the people in the Bible, usually Paul is not someone you would characterize as being weak. I mean, Paul was probably the greatest missionary this world has ever seen. The guy was relentless in preaching the gospel of Jesus. Nothing stopped him. A lot of stuff got thrown in his way to stop him, but nothing did. He kept going. But Paul had a nagging weakness, and it battered him. It beat him up. It beat him down. This weakness bothered him so much that it hindered his gospel mission work. Paul said, "In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh." He's given a thorn in his flesh. And maybe with a thorn, you don't necessarily need to think of this thorn only being from a plant. This could also just refer to like a sharp little splinter of wood or a pointed stake. And you think about a thorn or a splinter. I mean, if you get one stuck in your skin somewhere, it's not that big of a deal, maybe it seems like. But if you've ever stepped on like a splinter or a thorn, you know every step you take, it's going to hurt. I mean, you can still walk, but it's painful. And I remember as a kid growing up in Florida, we had these things called sand spurs. That's a sand spur. I mean, just imagine getting that in your foot. I feel like I was always barefoot, and we'd be walking outside, and just about every day I'd step on one of these things, little spiky spurs of torment. I mean, they look huge here. I think they're a little smaller than that, but they still really hurt when you step on them. And that's the point. Like, whether it's a thorn, a splinter, a sand spur, when you step on something like that, when you get it lodged in your skin, you know it's there. You feel it. It's painful. And it's going to hurt until you take the thing out. But Paul, he goes a little further in his description of his thorn. He says that it is a messenger of Satan to torment him. Now, Paul realized that ultimately God was the one who gave him this thorn to deal with. But he also realized that Satan wanted to use this thorn to steer him into doubt and self-pity. Satan wanted to use this thorn to hinder Paul in doing his mission work. And this is one of Satan's favorite tactics, to sow distrust between us and God. He wants us to start asking that question, why would God allow this thing to be part of my life? Does God really care? And this whole thought and this thorn, it torments him, Paul says. The language behind this is one of physically getting pummeled with fists. This thorn beats him up. It's all a very vivid description of what it's like to have a weakness. You know you have it. You feel it all the time. And there's going to be certain days it just beats you down, beats you up. So what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? What was this big weakness he had? We're never actually told for certain. We can speculate, though. Judging by how Paul talks about his thorn here and a few other places, we kind of get the sense that it was some kind of very physical or emotional pain. Not so much just like persecution in general was his thorn, or a spiritual like temptation to sin. That's not really what we're talking about here. Something physical, emotional, very painful to him. So was it a disease like malaria that keeps hitting you again and again, never really leaves your system? Was it a condition like epilepsy? Paul went through a lot of physical hardships. I mean, this must have left a mark on his body. He got stoned by the people of Lystra and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He got beat with rods. He was imprisoned. Maybe this left him with some kind of deformities or just serious health concerns. And there's some other places in his letters that maybe looks like he had some kind of vision problem, very weak eyesight, or maybe a stuttering problem when he spoke. We don't know for sure what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but any of those things we just talked about easily could have hindered him in his work. And maybe it is best to leave that question unanswered, because that allows us then to very easily relate our own thorns in the flesh to Paul's. You can almost just fill in the blank here with whatever your biggest thorn or weakness is. And so now, of course, you're going to be asking yourself, what is my thorn in the flesh? What is the one thing I would change about myself or get rid of about myself if I had the chance? What's that one thing? If the book Weakness Finder existed, what would it reveal as your biggest weakness? What would you want to get rid of? We're not talking superficial things here, like I have a unibrow or weird feet. Think beyond that. What's a real issue that you deal with on a very regular basis that beats you down? Is it perfectionism? It's not a fun quality to have. You put so much pressure on yourself to always have everything exactly right, perfect all the time. That pressure will beat you up. Maybe are you a chronic worrier? You just worry about everything. You know you don't need to, but you find yourself always thinking what can go wrong will go wrong. Wish you didn't have to deal with that. Maybe you kind of wish I wasn't so shy or introverted. It's not necessarily a weakness, but the devil will definitely want to try and make you think it is. Or maybe it is like a real mental disorder like depression, where it's just hard to get up some mornings and cope with your problems. And then maybe it is just the physical side of things, where your body's just not able to do the things it used to, and you're reminded of that every single day. I don't know. What is your thorn in the flesh, your weakness? Whatever it is, like Paul, we want that thorn gone, out of our life. Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he would take it away from me. And it seemed obvious. Paul would be able to get so much more work done for the Lord and his mission if the Lord just took away his thorn. Paul's thinking, Lord, imagine how much more I could get done for you and your church if this thorn was not part of my life. I mean, don't you want me at my full strength to do the work that you've given me, Lord? This makes sense, right? God should take away Paul's thorn and our thorns if he expects us to best serve him in this world. But God, he doesn't always take away our thorns. The thorn has a purpose. Paul already said what it was. He said, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. It would have been really easy for Paul to get a big head about all the amazing results his mission work was accomplishing. The message of Christ was reaching distant countries through his travels. That message was coming to people's hearts through his impassioned, very clear, loving instruction in God's word. But in the end, it was not Paul's great strength, but God's grace that achieved the results for his work. And God had to leave that thorn in the flesh for Paul to remind him who he should be relying on for his own strength and power to do his work. Paul had to take more pride in what God had done for him and less pride in what he could accomplish by his own strength. So God gives us weaknesses, thorns in the flesh, to teach us to rely and trust in him more, to rely and trust in ourselves less. And this is the part that just grinds against our human nature. And we've been taught, if you want something in this world, you got to go grab it. And the American dream in particular has always been built on self-empowerment. If you have to achieve your way to success by your own resourcefulness, your own hard work, your own strength, rely on yourself, believe in yourself. And this is even like the mantra of every Disney cartoon ever made, too. And there's some worldly truth in this, for sure. I mean, if you want to play in the NBA, you have to be good at basketball. There's a certain standard of excellence you have to meet to make the big leagues. Or if you're repeatedly slacking on the job or not getting your schoolwork done on time, well, then you might not end up where you want to in life. That's reality. There's truth in this. But we have to be very careful that we don't extend this attitude of might makes right into the realm of salvation. My human nature on this is always going to think that my strength, my hard work needs to play a part in achieving my spiritual goals. And this will lead you to the ultimate danger of thinking God's grace is not enough. This is the real messenger of Satan that will torment us if we let it. To think that I need to help God save me. When we start doing that, we will fall short. I mean, despite our best efforts and our many strengths, eventually our weaknesses will show themselves. That perfectionism, it will leave you falling short, just like always. Your worry will always make you question, am I really saved? Do I really have strong enough faith? Depression, it will make you wonder, am I saved? Because I'm not experiencing the joy that I thought I would be at my salvation. And all this is exactly what Satan wants you to focus on, to spend so much time focusing on yourself and your own efforts that you lose focus on your Savior. Don't listen to Satan. Listen to your Lord. You are enough. You are enough in Christ. You already have everything you need. Listen to your Lord. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You need nothing more than God's undeserved love, His grace. Grace comes to you freely. It's not something you get dependent on your own great strength or how much you deserve it. That's what grace is. It's love, freely given to the weak, the flawed, the broken, the imperfect. God's grace is sufficient for you, and you don't need to add anything to it yourself. Jesus has you covered. God's grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's all you need. And sometimes we think we have to put all the pressure on ourselves to achieve God's results, to achieve what God wants. But that's why He gave us Jesus, to achieve all that for us. So we don't have to put the pressure on ourselves. God put all the pressure on Jesus to achieve the results of your salvation for you. You are sufficient in God's eyes because the grace Jesus wins for you is sufficient. And oh yeah, all those weaknesses that you have, that you struggle with, your weakness just highlights the strength of God's grace. Your weakness highlights God's grace. And this is something that you see pop up in the Bible, this theme of power made perfect in weakness. You see it pop up over and over again. The little shepherd boy David takes down the giant Goliath with a slingshot and a prayer. The lowly fishermen are called to be the greatest disciples we heard about last week. And even Jesus Himself, He looks weak and worthless in our human eyes. And yet this carpenter's son from Nazareth, defeated and dying on the cross, wins victory for a defeated and dying world. See, with God and in God's determination, the opposite of worldly thinking is true. Foolishness is wisdom. The poor are rich. The lowly is exalted. The last is first. The weak are strong. And so when Paul asked God to take away his thorn in the flesh, God says, I got something better in mind. I'm going to accomplish great results through your work despite this weakness you have. In fact, this weakness you have, it's going to make my grace, my power shine out even more. The results never were dependent on Paul's strength. The results always were dependent on God's grace for his work to be successful. And God was going to make his strength shine out even more through Paul's debilitating blindness, his embarrassing speech impediment, his seizures of epilepsy, whatever his thorn was. God would use it to his glory, to show his grace even more. And since that was God's answer, Paul embraced his weakness. Now, instead of asking God to take this thorn away, he wanted to boast about it. He was happy about it. Paul said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It would make good sense for us to embrace our strengths. not our weaknesses. That's what the book Strengths Finder will tell you to do. We want to boast about our strengths and share our top five Strengths Finder qualities with each other. But because God's grace is sufficient for you, you can even boast about your weaknesses. You can tell other people, it is amazing that God would even use someone like me as his instrument in the world to do his work, despite all my flaws, despite all my weaknesses and shortcomings. Like Paul, we start to realize the more broken we are, the more we are held together by Christ. Instead of taking pride in self, we take pride in grace. Instead of fleeing weakness, we embrace it. Because weakness focuses us on our Savior. Because weakness highlights the strength of His grace for every weakness that we have. When we are weak, then we are strong. This is our motto. And it sounds weird to our human ears, but let's be clear about this. As Christians, we're not weak. We are strong in Christ. It's all just a matter of where we're finding our strength. Not in our own great strength, but in the great power of God's grace that even covers up our weaknesses. We're going to take pride not so much in the work we do for God, but take pride in the work He does for us. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Grace is sufficient for you. And God's power is going to shine out even in your weaknesses, especially in your weaknesses. Weakness is strength. Amen.